mental illness, mental health challenges aren't signs of individual weakness. And they're not signs that you are somehow flawed or broken.
Welcome to the Juggling the Chaos of Recovery podcast, where we focus on health, wellness, and overcoming all types of addictions. You're in the right place if you're a mom, dad, friend, sibling, or caregiver who has a loved one who is or was struggling with an eating disorder or any other kind of addiction. In a time when everything seems heavy, I'm here to bring you a real yet lighthearted take on what the heck we are all supposed to do with our lives while we care for our loved ones who are struggling. One thing holds true throughout it all. You can't juggle the chaos without smiling, at least a little bit. All right, welcome to another episode of the podcast, the Juggling the Chaos of Recovery podcast. I'm your host, Moira Gorski. So glad that you've come back to listen today and share this time with me. Another one of my favorite days is I do have a guest with me today who I can't wait to share her with you and have you hear her story and how, well, I'll let her share that. A beautiful story of recovery and how she has used that to help other people and stay in a conversation about mental wellness. I'm not sure. Again, I think the universe works in strange ways, but somehow I learned about Maris and saw a documentary that she was creating. And I think that was, I'm not sure, again, I think it was a few years ago, probably 2-3 years ago, and reached out to her, connected on social media, and just have continued to follow her, watched her documentary, and just think that she's a beautiful soul. And really am honored that she has said yes to coming on the podcast today. So Maris, I should have asked how you pronounce your last name.
It's Degener.
Degener. Okay. All right. Maris Degener came to the practice of yoga 7 years ago as a method of healing her body, spirit, and soul from an eating disorder that took over her life as a young teenager. Today, Maris is preparing to graduate the University of California, Santa Cruz with a degree in psychology and is passionate about staying in the conversation about mental wellness, social justice, and building community. Maris writes at yogamaris.com and shares more stories on Instagram at yogamaris. So welcome today, Maris.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, you are very welcome and thanks for coming. And so why don't you start off by, again, sharing your story of how an eating disorder came into your life and just kind of share with our listeners about your story.
Yeah, so I'll just preface this by saying I talk about eating disorders in a kind of a different way than I oftentimes see or hear. And what I mean by that is I really like to go below what is oftentimes the common narrative of that it's all just about your body. Oftentimes you hear this narrative that it's just about losing weight or that it's just a fad diet. And while the body is definitely a huge component of eating disorders and the way society talks about bodies definitely plays a role in the development of them, it's really important to me that I emphasize how much of my story had nothing to do with my appearance at all. And so it really started back when I was a child. You know, I struggled with anxiety and depression growing up, and I experienced this in a community that didn't really talk about mental well-being. Mental health wasn't really a topic. It was really something that was kept under wraps. It was something you hid and tucked away. And it was viewed as a reflection of individual weakness oftentimes. And so because I grew up without this understanding of what I was experiencing, it really became something that I internalized as shame. And I thought that I was just somehow broken or weak or just not good enough. And that really, really reached a peak when I entered high school and I was in a very academically competitive environment. And so there was a huge emphasis on perfection and competition and being better than anybody. And what happened was all that shame that I had internalized made me feel absolutely out of control in my life because it felt like I was never reaching this standard that was either being set for me by an external source or I was setting for myself. And that was really the point my freshman year of high school where I really developed an eating disorder. And because I really wasn't sure how to process what was happening. And because I really wasn't sure how to even address what I was feeling, it reached a point where I did have to be hospitalized and enter a very intensive period of treatment, which luckily I had access to. It's an incredible privilege to have access to that kind of treatment. But that was definitely just the beginning of my journey. And it took a lot of other healing mechanisms and approaches to get to where I am today, which is, a very safe and secure point in recovery.
Yeah, absolutely. Yoga has been as I watch the documentary, and I'm sure as our listeners will also, watch the documentary. I mean, yoga became a part of your healing journey. And I'd love for you to just share about that and how that became, how you learned about yoga, how you found that that was a place where you could find some healing.
Yeah. So yoga was a little bit of an accident in my life. When I exited the hospital and I went through a period of, not being able to exercise or move my body at all, I reached out to my doctor to see, when I'm more physically stable, what can I do to move my body, get back into my body again? And she suggested yoga, which, to be honest, I kind of like rolled my eyes at. I was like, I think that's like a boring old person thing. Had no understanding of the practice and all that it contained. And it just so happened that at that point, a yoga studio was opening up in my area, in the East Bay area of California. And they had free classes on Sundays that you could come and attend. And so I like made my mom drive me out bright and early and had no idea what was going on, right? Felt very confused and kind of clumsy and awkward in my body and didn't fully understand what was going on. But I walked away with this sense of joy and comfortability with imperfection that I hadn't experienced in a very, very long time. And that was really what had me coming back to my mat and what made it start to become a really integral part of my recovery.
Hmm. So say that again, the imperfection that you...
Yes, I developed more comfort with it not being perfect. Because the thing about the practice of yoga, as it was taught to me by my teachers, is that there is no perfect way to do it, right? So the physical practice, the asana, it's just a way to embody the philosophy and the ethical and moral teachings of the practice. So it's not about how the pose looks or about comparing how your body is in a shape versus how the person on the mat next to you is entering that shape. It's about learning how to honor different principles like nonviolence and compassion and non-attachment in a way that really works it into your fibers and gives you a space to practice it. And so just by nature of it being an always evolving learning process like that, perfection doesn't exist and it's not the goal. The goal is learning, which requires curiosity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, did you find that that was a stretch from where you had been in your eating disorder and in treatment?
Oh, it was a total 180. Because everything that I had received as a message narrative of life was that everything was about finding the perfect way to do it. There was a one right way and you should find that right way and do it better than anybody else. And so to really enter a world where it was celebrated and encouraged to be a little bit messy and get into that nitty gritty space where you could really learn and grow, that was definitely new to me. And it was uncomfortable. I remember wanting to be in the perfect pose or whatever that meant. And I wanted to not fall out of a shape because I thought people would think I was weak. And it took a while to really work its way into my fibers that's not what the practice was about. But all of that was part of the process.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Because I know that with my daughter's struggle and certainly with my struggle in the past, it was, more about trying to be perfect at something or having that perfect control of your life or a situation or things like that. So,
Yeah. And a really integral part was that, so much of my recovery before finding the practice of yoga was based on physical markers, and that was just by nature of hospitalization, right? Mm-hmm. Their job was to get me to a physically stable point in my body where I could even do something like yoga. But so much was like, what is my blood pressure? What's my body weight? How am I meeting these physical markers of quote unquote success? And so to shift somewhere where I didn't have to think so much about, meeting those markers and instead work on personal growth and development, That was a huge mindset change for me. And I think that's something that could be integrated into more treatment programs.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I always like to have a little discussion, if you're open to it, about how your relationships were impacted, how they changed, especially with your mother or your father, just because I am a mother of someone who has struggled. So, and I remember your mother speaking on the documentary, and I could relate to so much of what she said. Can you share a little bit about your relationship?
So my parents both didn't receive a lot of education on mental health or well-being. And that's just a product of society, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't like a personal shortcoming. And so when I started experiencing these challenges, they just really didn't know what was going on, which results in fear, right? And mm-hmm. I think oftentimes parents express fear through worrying or even frustration or anger. And so sometimes it would come through as fights, right? You know, why can't you just eat? Or, you know, why can't you just calm down? And so it took them a while to do their own healing, right? And so to work through that almost grieving process of moving through frustration and anger into what's underneath, which is compassion and loving care. And when they reached that space, what really expressed that was the willingness to say, I don't know what you're experiencing. I don't know what it's like to go through what you're going through, but I'm willing to stand by you while we all learn together what will help you the most. Mm-hmm. And so it took me, you know, a while. I was a child, right? So all I saw was the anger, or all I saw was the frustration and the not understanding. It took me a while as I grew older to realize that that's what they were experiencing, their own trauma, their own grief, and to really have an appreciation for their willingness to learn alongside me. And I think we're all still learning collectively as a family what all of this means for our family dynamic, especially as different members of my family move through their own mental health journeys. But I think ultimately it has created a unique bond and a unique appreciation for how strong we are as individuals and as a collective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's lovely. It's lovely that you can come to that point of appreciation, and kind of, it sounds like you're coming together as opposed to moving apart, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, like all family relationships, it ebbs and flows, right? You know, as we all go through our own personal untangling of what mental health and what mental well-being is, it will bring us through the tide. As sometimes we're all in agreement, sometimes we're further apart, sometimes some of us are in agreement and some of us aren't, you know? It's not about reaching this like picture perfect of everyone is always on the same page. I think it's more about all of us, you know, strengthening our personal understanding of what we need and just being willing to provide support when it's available.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, just mentioning the grieving, I remember a couple of years ago when my daughter was in a treatment program and I was, you know, attending a house walk in our town, and a lot of the high schoolers, like in the show choir and the different key clubs and things, participate as people that are in the home and helping with the housewalk. And go, you know, I was walking through the homes with a couple of friends of mine, and I just saw the moms with the daughters and the kids together. And I got into my car and I really was quite emotional, and it really caught me by surprise. And I was going to a therapist at the time, and I brought that up to her at our next session. And I said, like, what is that? And I said, and she said, could it perhaps be, cause I said, you know, that could have been Anna and I. And she said, you know, there is this point as you're going through this journey that there may be some grieving for a life or an experience or, you know, a relationship that you wish had happened, but is not happening because of this. And it really helped me to, again, kind of know what that was all about. And, you know, again, I think I'll say myself, you know, we often look at certain situations or relationships and think, wow, look at all that they have. And it isn't, the reality of it is not what it appears. But certainly at that moment for me, I was grieving that loss of what I could have had with my daughter if this mental illness, you know, had not taken her, you know, her away. And so, and I've learned that again myself, that I have had to learn myself what I need for support. And I have needed to learn more about this disorder or how to support someone with a mental illness. And at the end of the day, really how to support me. Because if I don't, then I can't show up fully for, you know, for myself, but also for those, you know, those around me. And, you know, again, that the family dynamic is shifted. And, you know, I don't know what it's going to, where it will lead to with our family in the future. But again, hoping for, I like what you said, you know, just that kind of the realization, the learning on everybody's part on how they can support themselves as well as, you know, those around them. Mm-hmm. So tell us about the documentary, or what led you to wanting to put your story into that form and share it.
So it was also quite by accident. I when I was in middle school, I babysat the children of a neighbor, a family friend, and while she was attending film school. And then we, you know, disconnected for a few years. She moved away. I grew up, and she was friends with my mom on Facebook. And my mom, at one point, fairly soon after my hospitalization, started posting pictures of my artwork, of my paintings. And Laura was very curious about them. She thought that she saw some kind of emotion behind them that she found to be interesting. And so she reached out to my mom. And at this point, we really weren't very open with what I had experienced or what I was going through. And so Laura was really one of the first people in my community that learned a little bit about my story, as it was at the time. And so we stayed in touch, and she started following as I became more public about things, started writing things more publicly, I started teaching yoga. And eventually she reached out, and she wanted to, she originally had the concept for a really short film that would basically take my art and bring it to life, and I would read some of my writings over it. And what happened is we just kept filming and filming and filming, and then eventually she just realized that what she had in her hands was the beginnings of a full-length documentary. And so she did it all on her own. She did all the hard work, I always like to say, because all I did was show up for it. But she did all the like editing and all the vision for it, and helped us get distribution and the support around that. And the only reason I kept saying yes is because I felt like the doors kept opening, and it was a little bit of a sign from the universe or whatever you want to call it, that this was meant to help people and I could help people in some way by sharing my story. So it has really evolved into what I like to view as a conversation starter, you know, either something that folks can watch and see themselves in and feel like they can share it with someone in their life to better explain what they're experiencing, or to open the door for folks who really aren't a part of the conversation around mental wellness yet and invite them in to talk about it in a way that feels accessible. And it's also become a little bit of a community builder, you know, getting to host community events and be invited into community spaces to continue this conversation. It's really become something much greater than myself and my story. It's become a conduit for others to share theirs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great. Where can people find your documentary?
The documentary, it's available on Netflix if you have that. And it's also, I believe it's still available for purchase or rent on iTunes. Okay. And there's also, if you're a school teacher, you have some kind of like community gathering space, like a space of worship or a youth center. We have educational distribution available for that. That comes with an educational packet with like conversation starters, discussion starters, that I developed with Chelsea Roth of Eat, Breathe, Thrive, which is a nonprofit that uses yoga as a treatment modality or a healing modality for eating disorders and other mental health challenges.
Mm-hmm. Is that a foundation that you started, or are you just involved that Eat, what did you say? Eat, Pray, Thrive?
Eat, Breathe, Thrive.
Oh, anyway. Eat, Breathe, Thrive, yeah.
I just collaborated with them and I've done mm-hmm. their training, but that's all Chelsea. Chelsea's amazing.
Yeah, okay. So, and again, the documentary we haven't met, it's called I Am Maris. Again, for those looking for that. Do you have any plans for any future films or documentaries or projects?
I mean, I'm not the filmmaker. Laura is currently working on her second documentary, which is sure to be amazing. As far as my own plans, I mean, who knows? Because mm-hmm. I didn't plan on being a part of one documentary. So maybe there's another one out there. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, with your upcoming graduation, what do you see yourself, you know, doing in the near future, in the way of a career or helping others?
I don't know.
You're still figuring that out.
I have no clue. yeah, I mean, I actually just graduated this week, which is exciting.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. I know. It doesn't feel real. I don't know when this will go with the COVID-19, this pandemic. We're all on lockdown right now. Mm-hmm. So it really doesn't feel real yet. But technically, I'm done with college. So I guess I'm just... the only thing I know, which I just been carrying with me, is that I want to be of service in some way. You know, whether it's to the population I've been currently serving through like mental wellness and social justice, or if it's going to be something else, I'm open to it. But I just want to stay rooted in that intention of service, because that's always served me well.
Right. Right. I always like to ask people about books, because I love to read and love to share those with others. So was there any book or books that helped you during your recovery, or that you have just helped you with life, that you'd like to share?
Yeah, the book that I always recommend for folks who are interested in learning about how the practice of yoga can be a healing modality is The Yamas and Niyamas by Deborah Adele. Mm-hmm. And that's a really, you know, clear, concise book that won't take you too long to read, that really breaks down the philosophy of yoga. So beyond the poses, beyond the shape, you know, how it can be integrated into your everyday life. That's a great book. Couldn't recommend it more. And then a book I read fairly recently in the last year is The Wisdom of Anxiety by Cheryl Paul. She's a therapist, I believe, based out of Colorado. But it's a really beautiful book that has a positive outlook on mental health challenges and how we can use the challenges to learn more about ourselves and develop compassion and empathy. And it's a really great practical book if you're looking for resources around mental wellness.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Thank you. You know, and as we look at wrapping up our time together, what would you say to our listeners who perhaps might be in the struggle themselves, or maybe they're in the process of recovering, or kind of, you are such a wise soul. What could you share? I'm sure you have a lot to share, but what would you want the listeners to hear today as we finish up?
I think that a message that can't be said enough, that I wish I had heard earlier, is that mental illness, mental health challenges aren't signs of individual weakness. And they're not signs that you are somehow flawed or broken. And so as you pursue healing, it's not about trying to fix yourself or perfect yourself or to get yourself to a point where you are worthy of love or acceptance or whatever it is. It's really about learning just how to care for yourself and see what's already in there. So, you know, escaping this narrative that we're not already enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's really good. Where can people find you? Is the Yoga Maris site, is that the best place for people if they wanted to see your work or connect with you?
Yeah, yogamaris.com is probably the best way to get in touch. There's a contact form on the website, so you can shoot me a direct email there. I check my emails best I can. And on there, there's also a link to a mailing list you can sign up for. I shoot out emails about upcoming events or offerings, things like that. So best way to stay in touch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you are in the Bay Area, correct? Or
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm in the East Bay Area. So if folks are out there, I tend to pop into Just Be Yoga in Walnut Creek in Danville, and we can practice together.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Maris. I really, really appreciate the time. Really, again, honored to have you here and to have you share your story. I look forward to continue to follow you with what you will be doing and being involved with, because I'm sure it'll be, again, of great service to the world, to others. So again, thanks again for being here. And thanks for listening, everybody. Again, I love that you come back every week to share this space of hope and health and recovery in this world of juggling. So thanks again. Make sure you visit my website for some freebies there about creating boundaries, creating new boundaries for yourself, if that's of service to you. And again, we will talk to you next time. Thanks for listening. Do you feel like your juggling of your chaos is just too much and you want to reclaim your life and health? I'm here to help. I offer free 30-minute consultations where I can show you simple steps to help you get back on track. If you're interested, please connect with me. You can do that simply by reaching out on Instagram and send me a DM at Green Gorski, or email me at Moira@GorskiWellness.com. Moira spelled M-O-Y-R-A. I look forward to hearing from you, and take care.